And I'm glad you guys are here. Honored, some of you, this might be your first time with us, and thanks for taking a risk. We know that it's a risk to walk into a church for the first time, and so I honestly mean thank you. Nicole talked a little bit about filling out a connection card. At the end of our service, we're going to pass some baskets, and if you want to take another risk and let us know you're here, we get it. Again, we get it. That's a risk to put your name down on a card, but we would love to get a chance to let you know more about this community of faith, and we're convinced that there's a place for you here, and we'd love to be part of the journey with you. So we're in a series right now. It's called The Big Ask, and we're talking about this fantastic, powerful, incredible, and mysterious invitation to be in communication with the living God. It is powerful, and it's awesome, and it is absolutely also mysterious. Is there kind of an amen? Somebody kind of? Okay, so last week we talked about the invitation, and we talked about God just inviting us back into conversation with him. And we heard some verses, some promises from God, which I want us to revisit a little bit right here off the get-go. One's from the book of Jeremiah. This is Jeremiah's recording the very words of God. And Jeremiah says this in Jeremiah 33. He says, call to me. I tell you what, let's all read it together. Would you mind doing that? Everybody, let's all read it out loud together. Ready? Call to me, and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things of which you do not know. That's cool. Anybody? I mean, this is from God. He says, call to me, and I will, what was the word? I will answer you. So everybody together again, that word. Call to me, and I will answer you. That is an incredible invitation. It's an incredible promise from God. Jesus says something similar in the book of Matthew. Do we have this? Matthew chapter 7. Jesus says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. I love this. For what's the word? Second word up there. Everyone. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. These are incredible promises and powerful invitations from God himself. And they're awesome, and they're also incredibly mysterious when they don't work. Okay? So these are powerful promises, and I want you to actually write some of these verses down. You're going to need them. But I want us to be real honest this morning. There are times when these promises seem confusing because sometimes it seems like God's not carrying his part of the bargain. Does that make sense? Anybody ever have a season or time or a moment in your life where you feel like heaven is not answering? Anybody? Okay, a couple bold, there you go, some bold people raising your hands. I think most of us have been in some moments in our life where we feel like our prayers are going unanswered. What do you do when you're going through a season where there is no answers? That's what we're going to talk about today. And I don't know about you, but I really struggle with those seasons. I don't like to be ignored. Anybody? Amen? Anyway, amen? I hate being ignored. It's like goes to the core of my being. I'm a dad of four. Our house is full and busy most of the time. There are people tucked in corners and crevices of my house. My house is full and busy. It's amazing in such a full and busy house that I can walk into the house, open the door and say, hey, and silence. Right? Or I can have a need and say, hey, can anybody help me? And all of a sudden there's dead silence, crickets, right? This week I was working in the yard a couple times and the back door was locked. I don't know. I should take a clue, right? But I'm locked in the backyard and I'm needing some help and I'm going up to the windows and I'm knocking. I'm saying, hey, can anybody help me? And there's nothing. I can see glimmers of human movement going by the windows and nothing, you know. Anybody have stuff like that? Ever ask for help or say, hey, the dinner's on? That's a favorite in our house. Dinner's on. Nothing, right? And so, I don't know how you are, but when I'm feeling like I'm being ignored, there are only two options, okay? Now, it may not make sense today on green folding chairs. It's Sunday. It's beautiful out. But I'm telling you, in the moment when you ask for help and no one's responding, there are only two options. Option one is some sort of weird tragic event took place, like zombies came and they took a bite out of each person in my family, and they're just shells. They no longer exist. You know what I'm talking about? Like some sort of, like aliens came and abducted them. Right? In your mind, you're thinking, what's going on? Did Jesus return and I got left and everybody else is gone? You know what I'm talking about? Like if I'm putting something out there and nothing's coming back, number one option is that something so tragic is that nobody still exists. Or the second option, and there's only two, the second option is that they are walking around the house hoping that I don't exist. You tracking with me? They're like, please, Jesus, make him go away. Like, please, we've had enough of him. So in those moments, I know it's kind of ridiculous now because like, well, John, there's lots of options. I get it, there's lots of options now. But in the moment, there's only two, right? And so I struggle so much with being ignored by people, and I struggle with being ignored by God himself. It's hard on the heart to feel like you're asking and God's not answering. So how do you navigate that? Well, we're going to talk today. This is a tender subject. Because I know when I'm talking about unanswered prayers, some of us are struggling over buying, is it a 2019 car or 2018, right? Should I buy a car with like 7 miles or 7,000? Some of us, we're wrestling, right? That's an issue. Some of us are wrestling over, should I take this job or quit my job? Some of us are saying, should I stay in this relationship? Some of us, when it comes to seasons of unanswered prayers, we're asking other things like, God, would you heal him? God, would you heal her? You know, I recognize that when we're talking about unanswered prayers, it's not cute because sometimes we're saying, God, would you take away the unforgiveness in my heart? God, would you remove the pain? Would you remove this thing that I carry? So I just, before we go any further, I just want us to recognize that this morning when we're talking about unanswered prayers, it's really not that cute. It's really hard. Amen? So how do we navigate this? I want to take you to a moment in Scripture that really at the core of it is built around an unanswered prayer. And I think you might miss it on first reading. But I want you to read it with me. This is found in the Gospel of Mark, which is what we're doing as a church. We're walking through this Gospel of Mark. We're in chapter 9 right now. So if you can find in your Bible Mark chapter 9, we're going to start in verse 2. And we're only going to read through verse 8. Okay? So just a few verses. It's a really, really cool moment in the life of a few disciples. It says, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, just three guys. Jesus takes Peter, James, and John with him, and he leads them up a high mountain where they are all alone. While they are there, Jesus was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Now Peter said to Jesus, Rabbi, it's good for us to be here. Let us put up these three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And then Mark adds in, he says, frankly, Peter didn't know what to say. They were so, what was the word there? So frightened or terrified. Verse 7, it says, then a cloud appeared and covered them, and a voice came from the cloud, this is my son whom I love. Listen to him. And suddenly when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. Okay, this is a really cool moment. This is called anybody know? The Transfiguration, okay? So this is a super cool moment. These three disciples get to go with Jesus to the top of this mountain. While they're there, Jesus is, he's transformed, okay? He looks completely different. All of his clothes, the Mark says, are dazzling white. Whiter than anybody on earth could possibly bleach them. Not only is Jesus' clothes transformed, Jesus happens to immediately be talking to two people. Who are they? Elijah and Moses. It's a super cool moment. And some of you are like, John, this is super cool. I give my right arm for this moment. What are you talking about? Unanswered prayer. Did you catch the unanswered prayer in the middle of it? It's from a guy named Peter. And you know, one of the reasons why we struggle with seeing unanswered prayers is we have a hard time seeing somebody else's unanswered prayer. Like, we see our unanswered prayers all the time, but we struggle to see somebody else's unanswered prayer as somewhat significant. It reminds me of a story of a preacher when he gets done preaching one day. A young man comes up to the old preacher and says, "Man, I would give my life to have your testimony." And the preacher says to the young man, he says, "Young man, that's exactly what I gave." So fantastic testimonies and stories are only earned through deep scars. Write that down if you want. That's a fantastic story, a fantastic testimony, fantastic moment in life is only earned through a deep scar. We have a tendency to always see the end of the story. We miss the middle of the story. I want to take you to the middle of the story. The middle of the story is all built around a guy named Peter. Now, Peter heads out on a journey led by Jesus. That would be pretty cool. I'd like Jesus knocking on your door. I'm like, "Hey, let's go for a hike today." It's pretty cool, except the thing is for Peter is Jesus didn't give Peter any instructions. He didn't give him any sort of map. Anybody here would like a map? Anybody would like a map for the next 10 years of your life? Anybody? Yeah, some of us. Anybody here wish you had a map for the next 10 months? Yep. How about for the next 10 hours? If I only knew what was going to happen. All of us want to know what's going to happen next year. We want to know what's going to happen next week. We want to know the map. Does God have a design? Does God have a plan? Jesus invites Peter on a journey, and there is no plan. He shows up in a moment that he is unprepared for. You ever find yourself in one of those moments? You ever find yourself in a situation like, "Man, nobody prepared me for this. I never thought I'd be here at 25 years old. I never thought I'd be here at 35. Nobody prepared me for this. I never thought my life would look like this at 65 years old." Peter finds himself in a situation that he's unprepared for and a situation that he doesn't understand. Nobody prepared me for this. And this situation, this circumstance makes absolutely no sense to me. Anybody say amen? You're wake up and go, "Man, I'm a better person than this." This doesn't make sense to me. Peter is in a situation that he's unprepared for. There's no map. It's a situation that he doesn't understand. And Mark tells us he's freaked out by it. Like Mark's words were, he's frightened or terrified. Now, I don't know about you, but all of a sudden, this makes a lot of sense to me. I've been in some moments where I've looked around and I'm really upside down with fear. Like, I have no clue what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know if we're going to make it. Okay? Now, good thing for Peter, here's what Peter does. Peter does what a lot of us do. He says, "Okay, what's the right thing to do? Like, how should I pray?" You ever do that? You're like, "Man, I'm in a bad spot, but what's the right way to pray right now? How would God want me to pray? What's the thing that would help God out the most?" Like, we start thinking, "Okay, God, if I ask for you, maybe you'll give me a little bit of something back." And so Peter starts processing. He's like, "Okay, what's the right thing to pray?" And he comes up with it in the middle of this moment. He's like, "Okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to build three tents, three temples." And then here's the ask. This is in verse 5. So if you missed the prayer, let's look at it. He says directly to Jesus, he says, "Jesus, let us put up three shelters." It's asking permission of heaven. "Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah." He's asking a really great thing for God's sake. And by the way, Jesus is within an earshot. And then Jesus doesn't answer. I mean, he was asking for heaven. Why would Jesus not answer? You say, John, you're stretching it just a little bit, because if you read the next verse, I want you to slow down with me for a moment. Mark doesn't tell us how long they're on the mountain. Mark doesn't tell us how long in between each one of these events. And frankly, I don't really care, because when I'm ignored for 5 seconds or 5 hours, it all hurts. Amen? Amen. So tell me that Peter's going through this moment of uncertainty for like 5 hours or 5 minutes. Anyway, either way, I feel his pain. I'm in this moment of an unanswered prayer. And you say, well, John, it's not completely unanswered. Well, it's not, because guess what? In the moment of unanswered prayer, you know what heaven does? Heaven sends a cloud to descend upon Peter. Think about that for a moment. He was already freaked out. He was already scared to death. And now a cloud descends and he can't even see his hand in front of his face. And sometimes that's what it feels like. It feels like God's messing with me. What do you do in the middle of a season where the cloud has descended and you can't see your hand in front of your face? I'm going to share with you 4 things I learned from Peter's moment on the mountain. And number one, I write this down. This may be the most important thing of the whole morning. In fact, I give you permission to check out after this one, okay? I'm going to give you 4, but this is the best of the 4. Are you ready? Remember that God always speaks. When the cloud descends and things are really difficult and it doesn't feel like heaven's answering, those are the moments in my life where I need anchors. I have to have something to tie off this boat that's being rocked by the waves. I've got to have an anchor. And there's some things that I have to hold on to when heaven is silent. Because what happens when that cloud descends, I start believing a lie that God's no longer with me, that he no longer sees, and that he no longer cares. I'm just going to give you a couple of verses that could be maybe anchor verses for you. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 simply says, God has said, never will I leave you, and never will I forsake you. It's a promise from God. That even when it doesn't feel like heaven is answering in the way that I want heaven to answer, he will never leave me and he'll never forsake me. How about this in Psalm 34? It says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and he saves those who are crushed in spirit. It's a promise. It's an anchor verse when everything is going sideways in my life to go, you know what? God has made a promise that even in this dark cloud, he is here. He is close beside me. And it's not just that he's close. He speaks. What was Jeremiah 33:3? You guys remember that? Call to me and I will, what's the word? Answer. I will speak. I always speak. Ask, seek, knock, Jesus says, and it will be opened. In fact, in Matthew 7, let me go on a little bit. Jesus expounds after that knock and ask verse. He says in Matthew 7, verse 9, he says, which of you, if your son asks for bread, would give him a stone? Which of you, if your toddler comes up and is like, man, I'm hungry, can I have a peanut butter and jelly? Which of you, as a parent, goes, peanut butter and jelly? I got something so much better than that. It's called gravel. And one spoonful has got all the minerals you possibly can have for the day. Jesus is like, which one of you, when your kid is hungry and wants PB&J, goes, here's a spoonful of gravel? Anybody ever do that? No, not a one of us, right? And he goes on, he says, or how about this? He says, or if he asks for a fish, we'll give him a snake. You know, it's like saying, could I have a chicken nugget? Oh, I got something better than chicken nuggets. It bites a little bit on the way down. Who's going to give their kid a snake when they want some Mrs. Paul's with some tartar sauce? He goes on, watch this. He says, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? You've got a heavenly Father who's so good, so loving. And the truth is, at this very moment, he has not abandoned you. He's speaking. He always speaks. And he likely is speaking about something bigger than you possibly have ever imagined. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I love this verse. What no eye has seen, and what no ear has heard, and what no human mind can possibly conceive, these are the things that God has prepared for those who love him. If you're in a season right now where it feels like heaven's not answering or not answering the way that you expect, my encouragement to you would be to remember. Like I've given you, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 verses here that are anchor verses. Write them down and hold on to them tight in this cloudy time. Deal? Number one, we have to remember. Number two, don't run away. Okay? We don't run away, we come away. Let me explain a little bit. If I was Peter and I was in a situation that I was unprepared for, a situation that I didn't understand, a situation where I was freaked out, and then my ask of heaven was ignored, and then after it was ignored, actually a cloud descended and I couldn't see my hand in front of my face, I want you to know that every bone in my body would be tempted to run away as fast as possible. You guys know what I'm talking about? We have this tendency to move away from the problem, to find some way to medicate the pain, find some way to get as far away from the problem as possible, and we miss out on the movement of God. Had Peter run away, he would have missed this incredible moment. But instead, it said he came away. Verse 2, it says, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up to a high mountain where they were all alone. One of the reasons why we don't hear heaven speak is because we have stopped creating margin in our life for heaven to speak. I wrote down in my notes this little sentence, sometimes my questions get in the way of God's answers. You know, sometimes I'm just so wrapped up in the tornado of my life, like I'm spinning so many plates all the time, that I am filled up with all of my concerns, I'm filled up with all of my worries, I'm filled up with all of my ideas, and I'm spinning. I have no space for heaven to speak to me. And so what I love about this picture is that for Peter and James and John to have this moment, Jesus invites them to come away out of the tornado of life, create some margin. Look at Jesus' invitation in Matthew 6. He says, but when you pray, go into your room, put in the earbuds, crank up the music, run on the treadmill. When you get done, pick up a hobby. Start a second job. Work as fast as you possibly can work. Move at the fastest clip as you... No, he didn't say any of that, right? This is when you don't trust a preacher. You trust what you're reading, right? Let's look at it again. When you pray, go in your room. Close the door. And pray to your Father, who is unseen. And then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, I love the last three words, will reward you. Isn't that good? I mean, I wonder how much of the voice of heaven that we miss out on because we won't come away. Does that make sense? We won't slow down. Now the third one's very similar. They're very tied together. The third thing I learned from Peter is I learned to be present. Okay, so we'll come back in the moment with Peter. Peter's in this moment. He's freaked out. He asks heaven, "Heaven, would you give me permission to build these three tabernacles, essentially tents?" And then Jesus doesn't speak. Instead, heaven gives a cloud, and the cloud descends, and they can't see his hand in front of his face, right? And then in the middle of this cloud, this really dense cloud, which is such a cool picture, by the way, in the middle of this dense cloud is where God speaks. God says, "This is my son, whom I love." I love this. Ready? "Listen to him." Peter, slow down. Be present. I don't need your list and your ideas. I want to speak to you. Solomon writes in the book of Ecclesiastes, he says, "Guard your steps when you go to the house of God and go near to listen. Rather than offer the sacrifice of fools who do not know that they do wrong." Be present. Create the space, but be present. Psalm 37 says, "Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him." This is so good. This is 2019. Ready? "Do not fret when people succeed in their ways." They all have their agendas and their timelines, right? They all have their stuff that has to be done this time and that time. Don't worry about the pace of everyone else around you, right? When they carry out their wicked schemes, instead, be still before the Lord and be present. Wait patiently for him. Because it comes back to the first one. God always what? He always speaks. And I'm going to share with you the last one, number four. It says that after this moment in the cloud, where Peter, James, and John get to hear the voice of God say, "This is my son, the one that I love. Listen to him." Immediately the cloud disappears. The voice is gone. And then verse 8 says, "Suddenly, when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus." One translation says, "Suddenly, they looked around, and it was Jesus alone." I love that. I think that's God's purpose behind unanswered prayers. To slow us down and quiet us. So eventually we'd see Jesus alone. You know, for like 2,000 years, Jesus people have testified that their real transformation happens when men, women, children, families are captivated by Jesus alone. The real transformation happens when we get off the treadmill and we stop having our feet on both sides of the fence and we get all in with Jesus and we say, "It is all about you, completely about you, and I'm captivated by you." Jesus people for the last 2,000 years have said that it is this moment that is so transformative, is when we see Jesus alone. The Apostle Paul, who wrote many of the books in the New Testament, he writes one book. It's called the Book of Philippians. And it's been named by a lot of people over the years as the Book of Joy. It's odd that it's called the Book of Joy because it was written in prison. And I don't know about you, but I wouldn't be writing very many joyful things if I was in prison. Likely, he's in prison waiting for his execution. I wouldn't be writing a lot of joy-filled things if I was in prison waiting for my execution. How about you? I can imagine that if he wanted to, he would say, "I'm sitting here because of seasons of unanswered prayers." In fact, in all honesty, Paul has been in this situation before, and he's just worshipped. He's hung out at midnight, and he's just sang some songs and read some scriptures, and boom, the doors open, prison doors are open, and he is out like a bird, right? I mean, it's just, he's experienced that, but in this season in his life, no open doors. Prison doors are shut. But he still finds joy. He tells us some of his secrets. I'll just read a few verses. Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, he says, "For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." He says, you know the secret in the season of my life? The season of maybe some would call it unanswered prayers? It's Jesus alone. He goes on a couple chapters later in chapter 3, he's talking about a list of things that he's accomplished and had and done. And he says that I've discovered that all these things in life that have vied for my attention and my affection, he says, they're all to me like rubbish or garbage. And he says in verse 10, he says, this is what I want. He says, I want to know Christ. I want to know Jesus alone. He says, yes, I want to know the power of his resurrection, and I want to participate in his sufferings, become like him in his death, and if so, somehow, I could also attain to the resurrection of the dead. He says, I want you to know that my joy is found in Jesus alone. I think his perspective is what birthed one of the most cherished verses in Philippians. It's Philippians chapter 4, which says, now, I can write, do not be anxious about anything. Not even those things that heaven doesn't seem to be speaking on. In fact, in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, I present my request to God. And even if God doesn't answer in my way or my time, he says, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So I think Paul says, there I see Jesus alone. Now I'll be honest, I didn't give you four easy steps to get God to wake up. You know, I didn't give you four easy like ways to get God to give you what you want. And to be real honest, I don't want that. I mean, yeah, there's moments that I want there to be more money in my bank account, and there's moments that I want the way to be easier, and there's moments that I want more people to like me. Anybody say amen? But the reality is, in the depth of my soul, I crave Jesus alone. And I trust that heaven will speak, because heaven always speaks. And God knows the depth of my need. So, create some anchors. Hold on to what's true. So, create some space. So, be present and listen. And may God captivate us all with his Son. Would you pray with me? Stand in front of a room of incredible people. And this room is filled with not only incredible people, but some incredible need. I know when we're talking today about unanswered prayers, I know that we're touching on some tender, tough spots. My prayer is that you remind men and women in this room of your presence. Remind us that what you have promised, you will bring about. That a regular guy with regular concerns can call out to the incredible, holy, and merciful God, and he answers. Give me the courage to create space and to be present. And I want to trust you to do what you and you alone will do. We thank you for a few moments in your word this morning. May the things we talked about become real in some real people today. In Jesus, we pray. Amen.